Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, what's up, y'all? What's up, Square Pimpergate? On this episode, we discuss what we can learn about relationships from the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. We discuss Aziz Ansari, the forms of manipulation, and that everyone, and the forms of manipulation that every woman knows how to use, whether that's she's conscious of it or not.
Yeah, so that's right. Plus, we continue over at Patreon, and that's where you can support us for bonus content. Patreon.com/manschool202. We do a bonus show there, and we continue our conversation. We actually talk about the passing of Kevin Samuels. What is actually a high value man? What's the definition of that? And the back and forth of abusive relationships. So if you love the show, it helps us keep the show running if you support us. Patreon.com/manschool202. Otherwise, enjoy the show.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. What's up, Square Pippa Gage? What's happening, yo? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. It's good to be here. You know, Harry, I like the guests, but how are you doing? I kind of like when we just, it's just us, you know?
Yeah, man, I dig it. I'm feeling like $1 million, and that's after taxes, Dante. After taxes, $1 million.
After taxes, man, that's a lot of dough. That's true. Probably $1 million. That's about $1.3 million.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So that's how good I feel. Anyone can say they feel like $1 million, then after taxes and everybody you got to pay, and all the fees, and then you only like feel like 850,000.
Yeah, more like 650. I would say more like 650.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to feel like $1 million. That's all I'm saying, man.
Here's who I feel like feels like $1 million, or like soon to feel like $1 million is Dr. Pirate Jack Sparrow.
Oh, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is.
That's right. We're in the thick of that, man. He is getting his vindication. You've been following any of it? Have you gotten a chance to see some of it?
Oh, I love the fact that
it's my new favorite series.
Amber Turd.
Amber Turd.
Me pooed him. He got me pooed.
Because
Amber Turd me pooed him.
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's a weird trial when one of the sticking points is where you have to defend that you didn't take a shit on the bed.
Yeah.
Where that has to come up, where they're cross-examining to try to examine whether or not, and then Johnny Depp has to go, well, those are not dog size. My dogs are very small. That's not dog size feces.
It's a Yorkie. It's a Yorkie. So unless his dog has got a blown out asshole, he's got a huge.
I don't know that the blown out asshole would make it bigger, right? Uh-huh. It would just be the same size turds. There might be more of it, or it'd be loose. If anything.
I used to have a Play-Doh, you know, the Play-Doh where you put the Play-Doh.
Right. You squeeze out the thing.
Different thing you put. I mean, you got stars and you got, you know, five-sided stars. So
you'd have a little shape or the little hole, whatever the cut would be.
The hole, and the bigger the hole, the wider the Play-Doh. So unless his dog was.
But I think that would be indicative of the amount of pressure and the amount of Play-Doh more than anything. It still wouldn't make it bigger.
It's the hole. The hole actually would make it bigger. Trust me, I was a big Play-Doh fan.
See, the physics of this is what I'm trying to figure out. I'm saying the amount of pressure, the smaller the hole would make it.
The more pressure, the faster. It comes out.
That these turds would come out.
Yeah, it's like the difference between amps, volts, and watts. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
okay. Hold on, though. It's still the size of the Yorkie is very small, so the amount of food that it's digesting to turn into shit
No, right?
In order for it to be that size, it would have to be very non-dense. What would be the opposite of dense? Like whipped cream? You know how whipped cream in the can
sort
is?
Sort of like Mr. Softy. Mr. Softy, right.
So the only way that it could be physically that size, if it was whipped, if it somehow there was pressure within the Yorkie.
Condensed air. Here's the thing. If you're talking about the sheer amount,
okay,
then it would still come out wide. If you put a Play-Doh strip on a wide, the big circle, then you get 50-cent pieces. But you still get 50-cent pieces. Do you understand? If you put the spaghetti, the Play-Doh, then it depends on the thing.
No, see, this is why they need you on the witness stand. Nobody has gone on there on the witness stand. You and the door guy who didn't want to be part of it.
He was just
vaping during his deposition.
Here's the bottom line is,
yeah.
This is what I say to dudes over and over and over again. You think money is the precursor to happiness.
Happiness, right.
It's not. Like, who's bigger? Like, Johnny Depp is a iconic person. Like, he's a...
One of the all-time movie stars.
All-time. Character actor. You know, Willy Wonka? The Six? Pirates of the Caribbean?
I think he did five Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Award nominated, too. So he is...
Dark Knights. What was it? The vampire joint?
Dark Shadow.
Edward. I mean, nobody doesn't know Johnny Depp.
Critically and financially successful, right?
Successful.
On top of the world. That's what you want out of a career.
Women love him. Who? What? You know, look, if Johnny Depp is in a bar and he goes, yo, holla at your boy. I'm at the W. Come on up. Who's not? I'm at the New York W.
Just leaving his room number?
His room. Just come on up. He don't even got to do that. He can just send his man. Tell Johnny Depp would like to see you.
Would you like to meet Johnny Depp? That one of those guys. How would you like to meet Johnny Depp?
He's on the 63rd floor.
Mr. Depp is interested in seeing you.
He's in the penthouse.
And you alone without your husband or boyfriends. No husband or boyfriends allowed.
Really? I'm going to go up. I'm going to get him. So here's a dude has everything and has been reduced to a quiet man with a shitty bed. Jack Sparrow.
That's what the wrong person can do to you. That's what the wrong person can do to you. Reduce you to somebody going, you took a shit in my bed, and having the other person go, no, I didn't. What?
And
you can't even do that.
How long has he been with her?
How many years, but it was about 4 years, maybe something.
He knows her shit.
Yeah.
She can't just pawn that off on the Yorkie.
Listen, there's not many people in the house, minus the two dogs. I didn't take the shit in the bed.
And who else could it have been? And then the fact is, the other thing is that the vindictiveness, the fact that you would, you know, I mean, if you got a great relationship, and then there's shit in your bed. The first thing you would do is go what?
You'd go, hey, what happened? Are you okay?
My God, the dog must have shit in the bed.
It must have been the dog.
But when you go, there's been shit in my bed.
I know exactly who did this.
That is the point. That's really the point. So here's but this is what happens. This is what happens when you don't have the argument. So many men, what men value more than anything is cooperative personality and somebody who will give them peace of mind.
Sanity is what you want more than anything else.
Sanity is extreme because, I mean, to say sanity, it's almost like saying like that is not a prerequisite. It should be, even if you disagree, you should have sanity in your life.
That's true, yeah.
What we're talking about is peace and quiet and agreeableness. Now, here's the dude, and this is what's interesting. As much as famous as he is, as rich as he is, the fact that he basically has enough money to do and go and do whatever she wants, I honestly believe he would do it.
Would do what?
Anything.
Oh, for her.
Anything to get to the point where a chick doesn't hate you so much that they want to shit in your bed. Who wouldn't? Jeez. Who wouldn't do? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
There's
when you
so
really,
many levels.
How awful do you? How much does somebody have to not respect you to go? I'm a shit in this dude's bed. This is what he's. This is what he means to me. I'm a shit in his bed, right in his bed. Not even to think about the fact that it's your bed too. You sleep in it too. I'm gonna shit in my bed, yeah, but on his side. Because I hate this motherfucker so
As if
much.
That was fine. If that's okay.
Fine. I mean, it is going to be on his side. It's still your bed. How about that? I hate you so much, I'm going to shit in my own bed.
But that's a level. But the thing you learn from this is that there are so many red flags before it gets to somebody shitting in your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't.
That we ignore. That we ignore all the time.
And why? For the peace of mind.
For the peace of mind.
If I just let it go. And here's what you got to understand. Disrespect. And I people always, yo, you jump out the window too quick. You jump the gun. I mean, could it be this? Could it be that? Maybe it was this. Maybe he meant this. Maybe he just meant this. Maybe he meant mistake and he was swinging at a fly and he smacked you in the face. Nope. The disrespect is there. I've said this 1,000 times. It never gets better.
It doesn't. It
doesn't get better.
It
only
doesn't
get worse.
If that's the way the person's behaving, that's what they're going to be. If they're going to have a nasty attitude, that's how they're going to be.
And
it doesn't change. It just gets worse.
We're not even talking about a nasty. We're talking about somebody shitting in my bed.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is, all right, here's the thing, though. We've talked about this. Nobody shits in your bed day one.
No.
Right? Nobody.
That's not the lead off.
Right. You
ignore
up
me.
Right. Yeah. Hey, why did you shit in my bed? You took too long getting back from the kitchen. So I felt like I had to do something.
It might be better if it was that way, but it's not.
It would be easy.
If you let off with the shit in the bed, what happened?
Now I got some decisions to make. How do I feel about this shit in the bed situation? Is this worth it?
And here's the thing. This is the other thing. Once a woman loses that kind of respect for you, it's a downward spiral. It's just anything is okay. I mean, even I bet that when she's hearing the testimony of all the things that she did to this dude, I think that she even thinks, yeah, maybe I went too far.
See, I wonder about that. I wonder about that because she seems to be like a pathological liar.
Yeah.
Well, like it's pretty crazy the level that of delusion that she's having. So the weird part about this whole thing is they taped each other knowingly. Mm-hmm. We're taping each other because things were getting heated. Right. And it was problematic. So some of the things that end up changing throughout the whole confines of the relationship, just her perspective on things is insane. It's
like
just
when, I didn't hear that part.
Well, they taped each other all over throughout the whole thing. But her admitting on those tapes where he goes, you know, you hit me. She goes, oh, grow up. I hit you, but I didn't punch you. There's a difference. And you're such a fucking baby. Mm-hmm. Right. So to hear that, that's one thing. But the aspect of all, like, she keeps changing her story. And I think she's a pathological liar who believes her own story at some point. I think that's a real thing because you start to, I mean, it goes so, it's either that or.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Pathological liars, they're changing the story because they're aware of what happened. They may believe it after they've repeated. So, but the reason why they're adjusting the story is because they're aware of what it sounds like. They're listening to it, and then the perception is, okay, how does this sound out loud? Do you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, so what do you think the rationale is? I guess it was for fame. This is one of the rare situations. What I don't like about this case is it's the one situation that I've ever encountered with any of this where you go, why would somebody accuse somebody of sexual assault? How does that get them more publicity, or how does that make them, how does that further their career? And this is the only case that I know of where you go, it did further her career because she got.
Because she
became more popular in the sense she was a figure. She was going to these rallies. She was doing these commercials as a spokesperson of domestic violence. So it did up her profile. It's the only example, though, that I can
think. But let's be honest. It upped her profile at a time when it could up her profile. Do you know what I mean? Like the first openly gay basketball player was a huge thing.
Sure.
You know, first openly gay rapper, huge thing, right? The hugeness of Lil Nas X is because it's new. But after a while, as dudes come out, it doesn't carry the same juice. Now, the reason why this carries some juice is because of the fame of Johnny Depp. I mean, you know, so it's like, here's a guy, Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp is kind of the weird creative guy. So it's like, oh, him too? Like, not that guy. And so there was an audience for it. And this is an interesting thing. You know,
I still think we're in that phase, though. I still think.
No way.
You don't think it could happen today?
How do you think that everybody's Team Depp now?
The only reason people are Team Depp, the only reason is because the evidence is there now, that they have heard this evidence now.
But how did the evidence is there because there's an audience to hear the evidence.
There's a trial happening, though.
Right. But
if he didn't record all that, that's the thing. If he didn't record all that, right?
Well, okay.
Which I'm surprised they didn't release more of this stuff beforehand. That I'm curious about.
Because the whole thing was women are supposed to be believed. That
right.
was
believe
the rally
all women.
Believe right. all women. Now, which is a ridiculous statement because women lie just like men lie. Mm. So, are we really saying that a woman won't lie about this? Well, clearly we have evidence that
all
that's
accusations
not the
should be taken seriously, regardless.
Okay,
it should be taken seriously.
So
yeah.
should it be the yeah. fact that he said that he was abused. So
I agree.
Now,
I agree.
Now, and so it has, but that's not a level of. There was a time when you, as a man, couldn't even say I didn't do that and not get straight and not
right.
get destroyed.
Well, maybe that'll change with this. I don't know. But
this
is the first one.
We talked about this on the show before. Remember the Aziz Ansari thing?
Yeah.
Like, that guy didn't get canceled. I mean, they were initially on his ass, and then when people heard the story, they were like, dog, come on, man.
I'll say in that, the only nuanced aspect of that is she didn't directly accuse him of sexual assault. She didn't say he raped her against her will.
He said that he assaulted her. He said she assaulted him. Like, I don't remember if that's the case. She did not say, yeah. I did this and she didn't say that. What happened was she consented to a situation that she felt awkward about, and then she consented again.
Right.
That
I agree.
She didn't describe it as that, because if she would have described it as that, that would have been a nothing burger.
If she consented
to go to give him oral sex, and then it was uncomfortable for me, right? And so I didn't like it. But then we moved to the couch, and then I consented again to do it, and it was still awkward. And then he said, hey, it was great hanging out with you. I'd love to see you again. And she said, I was really uncomfortable with this. Then he apologized. And then she said, Well, I felt all, and then she went to the papers about this.
Yeah, I think that's in.
She never said I consensually did. But she was putting the blame on him because that was the whole point of it. But I'm saying if she had not put them, she said it was totally my consent. I stepped in there and I should have spoken up and I didn't. If she had said that, it would have been an absolute nothing burger. But that's not what she implied, that he forced her. And that's why we all had to read what happened in order to go, wait a minute, this is you. Not only did you consent to this once, but you moved to another location in the apartment and you consented to it twice. So what I'm saying is, saying that all women tell the truth and all women's accusations should be believed is an absurd sentence. That is to say that women never lie.
Right, yeah.
Which is, now all accusations should be taken seriously.
Absolutely, yeah.
But to the same token, when you say you're going to take action seriously, it also means that if you're lying about it, it's serious. That if you're making these false accusations, there's consequences to that as well.
There should be, yeah. There should absolutely be. I mean, it is a double standard. There's no doubt about it. There's a massive double standard when it comes to this. And it's interesting to see how much will change perspective-wise with this, especially the portion of the trial where, I mean, this is on tape, her going, you know, he's saying, you hit me. And she's not denying it. She goes, you know what? You go tell a jury that I hit you and see who they're going to believe. See what they'll believe. Tell them that I, Johnny Depp, am a victim of domestic violence and see what they believe. And that's just a double standard.
But also, when she says that out loud, everybody goes, wow, like you know that this
what you're
is
doing.
You know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing. Yeah.
This is like the chick, the Central Park birdwatcher thing. Is an African American? He's threatening my life. Oh my God. You know, you're doing this because you know what you're doing. So when you say, go to a jury and tell them that you're a victim of domestic abuse, the inference to that, the subtext to that is, you're going to look like a moron because nobody believes that men are abused.
Right. Right. I mean, this could go down as a sort of landmark case in that sense, at least, you know, from public opinion and how these things going forward, which on the one hand sucks because it's going to make it. Hopefully it doesn't affect how many women are believed who have credible stories that are legitimate.
I think what it does is that I think it brings. So I've said this. That, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth. And so one of the reasons why there was this kind of witch hunt for guys who were sexually, and I say witch hunt, not in all cases, but in some cases where it was just everybody could get swept up in this whole Me Too thing. What's interesting is that
there are people who still list Aziz Ansari when they list celebrities who've been accused of the Me Too movement.
Because once
still
it's done, once it's done. But when somebody says Aziz Ansari, somebody that knows the story, you get checked for that. Mm. No, that never happened. I mean, look, I've had people get checked about the what do you call it? The lacrosse team thing.
Oh, the Duke lacrosse team. Yeah.
Yeah, that but was the another. People are aware that it was lied and that these guys got caught up, and people correct that all the time. Sure. So, but here's what you have to understand: that the sexism, the sexual assault against women was so extensive and so egregious for so long that, just like the assault and the abuse and the sexism swings the pendulum, the rape and the assault was swung so far where women weren't believed, they couldn't accuse, the power of men overcame them, they couldn't say this happened to me and nobody would believe them or whatever. Now the correction of that the pendulum doesn't swing one way and then back to the center. It swings all the way the other way.
Yeah.
So just like the abuse, and I say this about racism, about sexism, agoraphobia, Islamophobia, anti-Semitic, the pendulum swings all the way the other way, right? And then you go, people who probably shouldn't have gotten caught up in it get caught up in it.
Yeah.
They get caught up in it. And as they get caught up in it, what happens? You get innocent people, or maybe people who haven't had an egregious kind of thing that happened that get put all in that same, you know, the guy who says, listen, all women don't tell the truth, get swept up with Harvey Weinstein. Like, they're all the same. And I get it, because you can't ask for the correction is not going to be, you want, like, yeah. Men want the correction to be scalpel-like, laser pointed, you know, equal to what it is. So we're going to not, we're in a situation where all you got to do is watch the old Anita Hill, Clarence Thompson, who that's douchebag.
Clarence Thomas.
If you watch the senators and the things, it's cringeworthy, because we have a difference of culture now.
How they're questioning her during that testimony. And all she is, her whole role in this, by the way, is just going, FYI, this guy was sexually harassed me.
Yes.
So they brought her up as a witness, as this guy is being, I guess, vetted to be a Supreme Court justice.
Not unlike Boofing, Squee.
Brett Kavanaugh.
The Devil's Triangle.
Devil's Triangle.
You know, Donkey Dick Donkey Dave.
Donkey Dick Dick Doug. Donkey Dick Doug.
And but what's interesting is how, like, I don't even know. I want to look it up. But Anita Hill trial was what year?
In the early 90s, if I recall. Early 91, 92. So
then you got Kavanaugh's going under the same. This is the same thing going. And then at one time, somebody asked Anita Hill, are you doing this so that you could write a book? As if a black woman would go up to speak against a Supreme Court justice so that she could write a book and go under that kind of assault, that she has to talk about pubic hairs on a Coke and
long dong silver.
Long dong silver. Like, this is an educated woman who now she has to discuss with this douchebag long dong silver.
She wants to write a book about, this is a lawyer.
Like, this is what men think of her. So when you talk about that kind of
abuse, it's a good thing. I mean, listen, and all that aside, Clarence Thomas didn't go out to do anything pretty bad to the country. It all turned out fine.
And so did Jenny, his fucking goofy ass wife, which is funny because you ever watch How High, the movie with
Redman and Method Man? I'm familiar with it. I don't know if I've watched it in a while.
So the dean,
it's in the Criterion collection, I do believe.
But the dean is just like Clarence Thomas, and his wife is like Jenny.
That seems about right. You got to go watch those old SNLs. Tim Meadows playing Clarence Thomas is phenomenal, by the way.
In that movie, the Method Man gives them pot brownies, and then the guy, the dean, is pop locking and break dancing.
I missed How High.
Oh, you gotta go. You gotta see How High.
That's how women get questioned. You're saying that's how the treatment of women was for a very long time.
And it kind of still is, in a way, in all fairness.
We just saw the same thing with the Brett Kavanaugh thing a couple of years ago, and how they questioned and grilled her.
Yeah, not much different. But I will say, half the country was like, we've also got things so polarized because if this is your side, they can do no wrong. People will not go, this is my side. I agree that this was a fucked up situation. They won't even do that no more. So, but I'm saying that to say, we're in a situation where, now the pendulum is swinging back to the middle.
Sure.
We're going, okay, this don't even sound right. Well, let's wait till the facts come out. Let's do the investigation.
I would like to think that's where we're going. I don't know. I don't have faith.
I mean, this is part of the fucking, this is what's happening. I mean, it's literally, look, there was no.
Yeah, but see, the problem is what's happening is the evidence is so overwhelming now. Like, overwhelming, the amount of evidence that Johnny Depp brought out in this trial, that there's no question about it. But it becomes that sort of thing where if there's any ambiguity,
How did Kavanaugh get in?
How did Kavanaugh get
in? That's the truth.
There's no audio of it. There's no audio of it happening. That's why. People literally have to see video or audio There has to be proof because it just becomes word to other people.
Okay, yeah. So it is just word, but what I'm saying is it didn't even – a guy who should be vacant of question of what his integrity is as a Supreme Court judge – mm-hmm. Still got in. No problem.
Yes, because he's the abuser in the situation. He's not the victim.
But that's my point. That is exactly my point. My point is the abuser came up and said this guy did this and he did these things. And he is the white male who is in this Supreme Court position.
Yeah.
Who it still got confirmed.
Yeah, they don't.
So
yeah.
If Me Too was so wild and so dangerous to everybody, then he wouldn't have got confirmed. Let's be honest, should he have gotten confirmed?
No, not at all, because
it's just if we have this kind of, if we're asking these questions. The Supreme Court judge, this is somebody who is a lifetime appointment, that there should be no blemishes on his record. Otherwise, he shouldn't get the job. So it didn't even, the Me Too movie did. What I will say is this. I think that we're becoming more reasonable about this. I've had somebody say, look, if people were talking about the Me Too movement, it didn't do anything. And this is what I say to the Me Too movement. Matt Lauer, right, who got caught up in the Me Too thing, can no longer call the locksmith, the building locksmith, and say, I need you to put a lock a bitch in my office button under my desk. I need you to wire an electric button lock so I can lock women in my office and sexually assault them. You cannot make that call to the locksmith. You can't even ask for a lock the door button anymore because of what that resembles. For those who don't know the story, Matt Lauer had a button where the women would come in and he would hit the button and it would lock the door. And he would lock them in his office and then sexually assault them. You can't even call. The locksmith is not even going to. If you call the locksmith and say, look, I need a lock a bitch in my office button. He's gonna be like, yeah, you gotta get somebody else. I'm not gonna be responsible.
I'd like to think.
There's no way that nobody, because here's the thing, and I've said this 1,000 times. The culture is what controls people. The laws is what creates laws create consequence, but consequence doesn't change people's minds and change people's behavior. Consequence is the beginning. And people start to go, if I do this, there will be a consequence. Now, there's an array of different morality. Like, some people go, this is awful. This is disrespectful. This is wrong. I didn't realize this was wrong. And they change in a real way. Then there's people who go, somebody got in trouble. I'm not doing that. I don't want to get in trouble. Then there's people who are going to go, I'm above the law. I'm going to keep doing it. And those people,
and I'm going to run for president in 2024.
Right. It goes.
Got to make America great again.
And that situation is where it goes. Hey, those guys they're going to be, you know, if they've done things wrong, they're being taken to task. But what really changes the culture of how people operate. I've used this analogy when I talk about jaywalking. LA, you could jaywalk, right? New York, you can't jaywalk. Now, what happened? If you jaywalk in LA, right? You get a ticket.
Right.
But now, we've both been to LA, when you're in LA, if you jaywalk, right? People look at you like you're crazy. So there's a social pressure that makes you, even if you're a New Yorker, you don't jaywalk in LA. Because when you step off the curb before the light changes, the old lady, the kids, everybody looks at you, yo, what the fuck, what is this maniac doing? And because of that social pressure, it changes your culture. To the same token, if you're in New York and you don't check, if you don't step off the curb and get in the, and move out their damn way, people look at you the same way, like, yo, what are you a tourist?
What are you doing? Get out of the way.
Yeah,
get out of your fucking mind. Yeah.
So it's the culture that changes the people's behavior. And now the culture is that when you are ultimately disrespectful, sexist, or whatever, there are the people around us on a social level, they check you. People say, they don't say things that they didn't, that they used to say before, because there's, hey, bitch.
Bitch, give me a donut.
Men will go, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you? Right? You will get checked by other people. It's not the police. It's not the threat of...
No, it's never relying on the police and the authority to do it. It's the social change, the social pressure. Yeah, it's the cultural pressure.
Sure, it's first is the legal aspect of it and the consequence of legal, but after the legal, it becomes a social norm, and then once the social norm changes, then people change. And so it is not okay... It is not okay for men to treat women the way they treated them before. I've heard this 1,000 times. Guys, with the Me Too movement, how does that affect your techniques or this, that, and the other? I mean, we can't say anything to women. We don't know what to say. No, you can't say nice tits, bitch. You can't say that no more.
Say nothing, man.
And let's be honest. You can get away with that every once in a while if it's in the right context. But you can't randomly be abusive to women. It's not okay. It never was okay, right? And, that is where the whole incel kind of movement came from, this ability to be abusive to women with no repercussions and no consequence. Now there is consequence, and because consequence existed, culture has changed, and because culture has changed, that's not okay. Do men still do it? But they do it at the risk of having some consequence, losing their job, doing whatever, right?
Right.
Even violence. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Fucking, they're taking movies away from Will Smith for perpetuating violence against another man. When was that a thing? That was never even a thing. We fight, we knuckle up. We shot a fair one.
What actors did back in the day? Yeah, it used to be.
Beat the shit out of a AD or something like that. Or curse him out. I mean, you told me stories of what Bob Hope, how he used to treat his writers, right? You told me that.
I probably said one or two. Yeah, people used to scream at each. Used to scream at people.
Well, yeah, they said he had this circular.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't tell you this one.
Bob Hope's an old school comedian. Used to do the USO.
Legendary comedian.
Legendary.
Back in the day.
Took care to always perform for the troops because he's a patriot. But writers would come and they would hand him the stuff. He would stand at the top of the staircase and he would curse them. You pieces of shit. What is this? And he would take the jokes and throw them off the balcony. They would float down like snow as he cursed them out because they were all shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do that anymore. Well, you can't do the thing with Ellen either. Ellen got caught up in that type of behavior.
Exactly.
The more and more this social media has become prevalent, the more it's harder to hide these things.
Right. You can't hide
as opposed to it used to be just reading it in the paper, seeing it on the TV. And it's weird because it had a bigger reach to an extent. And yet. But what it is.
But the narrative, you could control the narrative.
You could control the narrative because there was a limited supply of channels where that could reach.
Right.
As opposed
and
to
it
now.
Could be censored. You could also censor it. Sure. What got out. So but if you were powerful, you had control over what got out.
But what control do you have over an independent writer who works for one small website or something, and then it gets picked up by the other websites? That part of it has changed for the better.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, so what's interesting is time and time again, we see these people who we look up to, and then we don't understand how grossly unhappy
they are.
And the thing about this is, like you keep saying, is nobody starts out by shitting in your bed.
Yeah.
I mean,
it works its way up. There's a lot of red flags between the start of the relationship, between getting somebody's phone number.
Yeah.
And then watching them shit in your bed. There's at least a couple red flags that you could point to.
How long do you think that goes? What is the distance between
the phone number?
Between the phone number and shit in bed.
Hey, is she single?
Right. Hey, she's attractive.
To going, I'm sorry, did you shit on my bed?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Johnny. Hey, I'm Amber from that.
I know who you are.
I know who you are.
I know who you are to the pulling down your panties and going, oh, I got to pull them down further because I don't want to get shit on my panties.
You know, he's probably got a nice California king, right?
Egyptian thread.
There's easily
10,000 count.
Easy 1,500 thread count or some Egyptian linen, right? Then you
got these were from the prime minister of Egypt himself when I did the promotional tour for Pirates 3.
So now you gotta pull that goose down, like, you know, we're talking about not, maybe like a 600, thread count goose down with a duvet, right? You got the bed sham. You want to make sure the bed chamois stays down. You got to pull that cover back. Man.
It's a lot.
That comfort is heavy because it's plush. It's probably
heavy
six
duty.
Inches.
It's a heavy
six
duty.
Six inches thick.
This you ain't no Martha back. Stewart Kmart.
No. This is no Bed Bath & Beyond, my friend. This is, you got to pull it back, right? Because, hey, I'm not a savage. I don't want to shit on the comforter, right?
No. That's not what this is about.
I got to go
plus,
to the sheet.
You got to save something for Christmas time. The next argument, you know, where do you go from here?
And she pulls it back because, you know, I'm going to tell you, when I look at Johnny Depp looks kind of like he's a little soft guy. You know what I mean? He's not a man's man.
He's a sensitive artiste, my friend.
I watched Jack Sparrow run. Come on, you know he runs like an old white lady. So,
in all fairness, that's Jack Sparrow.
Same thing. He runs.
It's
like,
not. I'll tell you this: Jack Sparrow would not allow anyone to shit on his bed.
No, he would not. Then she pulls back. So you're talking probably. I'm gonna go with a memory foam. A memory foam top, right? Which is really hard to stabilize yourself. It's hard to stay.
She's got to balance herself.
She's got to balance.
She's got to have massive core strength.
She's got to squat down low enough and not low enough. And I heard it was a big drop. You know what I mean?
Let's see if there's pictures. I don't think I've seen pictures because they block them out, which is weird that they have to blur out the.
That
the
means
shit.
She's got to do a half squat. She's got to do a half squat. Just parallel, but not in the bucket. You know what I mean? She's not. This is not Olympic.
Oh, boy. Ooh, it's a sloppy one.
You got it?
Yeah, it's a sloppy one.
Oh, send it to me, please.
It's one log here. I'll send it to you.
A sloppy log.
It's if it was baby back ribs, you'd be happy. You know what I mean? But it's not. Let me see. I'm gonna text it to you. Get your phone in a second.
I got it.
But I got the unblurred one. I love the idea that somebody has to blur it out. Like, listen, we have to have some decency here for the love of God. Here, did you see it there?
Let me see, it just went through. Here it comes. Wow. Oh, man. That's definitely not a Yorkie.
Yeah.
If a Yorkie shitted that out, the Yorkie died afterwards. Just died. There would be a dead Yorkie and that shit
on his
bed.
It would have a
bed.
Heart attack.
Yes, it would die.
Because it's half the size of the Yorkie. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
They would be like, why is this Yorkie's butt bleeding? Because of this monster. Do you see this monster he dropped? He's just shaking, you know?
Is that Yorkie in a coma?
He's shaking and he just, whatever.
There's so many lessons that are learned from the show within the confines of this trial, right? That are interesting. One of the ones, and we're all out of order in how it's happening here. Sorry, I'm trying to fix the blur on my camera. Yeah. We're all out of sorts on. But the interesting part is towards the end, when he's finally had enough,
right?
And he goes, I don't want to be with you anymore, right? Then she changes her tone of how she approaches it. So throughout the thing, she approaches you. You said it's the five stages. I forget how many stages.
Three.
We haven't talked.
Three stages
of arguing, or manipulation. Right. And the three stages are
anger.
Anger. Right.
Guilt.
Guilt.
And sympathy.
Sympathy.
And then when you give sympathy and you don't respond the way they want you to respond to the sympathy, then they get angry again. And it's like, how dare you see how pitiful I am and then not bend the way I want you to bend to be what I want you to be. Then it's a whole, then it's anger again, then guilt again. How could you do this to me? It's all that I've done for you. And then we loved each other. You said you loved me. And then sympathy again, and then anger one more time.
And you can see how she rotates through all three of them at various times during those audio tapes. You can hear it, because there's the times where he's, and whatever he's doing, she has to alternate it, because when she goes, you know, you're crazy all the time. And then he goes, you know what? I'm going to start walking away from you. I need a minute. Right. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes, why do you start crying? Why do you always have to leave? Why do you leave when anything gets rough? She starts crying. Like, why do you leave? And he's like, you are hitting me. And then it becomes anger again. Like, you're such a fucking baby. You know that? You're such a fucking baby. It you can see how it rotates, right?
Yeah.
And you can see it in those things where whatever he's doing to make logical sense of it, she contradicts it with some other form.
Another form of manipulation.
Let me ask
you this. Remember when I first told you that, when I said that manipulation goes in three stages and I explained to you the stages, do you remember the first time that you recognized that?
Within a relationship of a woman in a personal
in a relationship
life?
That, yeah.
I don't remember the exact first time. I just know that I do remember it being like night and day, like, oh man, it reminds me of playing sports when, you know, when you just don't know what you're doing and a coach explains to you like, hey, this is what's going to come at you. This is how the form. And when you see it clearly, you're like, holy shit, this is exactly what he said was going to happen.
This is
exactly where the winger is coming down and all that. So I don't remember the specific incident, but since that time, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. And I've seen it within all my partners, any woman I've been with, where you go, I see every phase of her doing this. Like, I've seen her be angry. I've seen her be sympathetic or guilt. I've seen her do all of them. Yeah. I don't remember a specific one, but
now because I remember you calling me up one time and going, yo, what's the three stages? You called me up and asked me.
Yeah.
You remember that? You was like, and I think it was a time where you were recognizing, like, holy shit. Like, not only is it those three stages, but they're in that, and it's in that order only.
Most of the time, it starts in that order.
It never skips the order.
No.
Because it's almost like you can't, it's almost illogical.
It's like a batting order. It's like a batting order. We're going to open, we want to, you know, lead off. You want to lead off, you know, and then when this doesn't work, the next phase is anger. And then when the anger doesn't work,
Anger's usually first.
For anger,
because that's the go-to. Because usually,
you know,
people will
it's
be
hard
angry.
For me to remember the orders and shit because it's so instinctual to me now.
Yeah.
That whatever is happening in front of me, I cut that shit off. So I'm ready for all three. Sometimes maybe I don't even notice because I'm just so whatever that I go, we started with anger.
And I didn't respond. And so
so we went right to the other thing.
Yeah.
And it goes very quickly. Yeah.
It's always anger first, because it's almost like that is, okay, this person is I'm going to intimidate this person. I'm going to show my anger and I'm going to intimidate this person. Then when that doesn't work, then it's like, now I'm going to guilt you. Like, how could you do this you love me, you said you love me and you don't. And
why do you run away?
Why do you run away? How could we communicate? Then it's, look at me here, broken. I'm a broken woman and I can't. Could you?
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So here's another one, right? When you don't give a fuck, it turns very quickly. So there's a tape where she comes back to Johnny after all this stuff has been reported, after she's filed a restraining order, and she just, he's like, just go away. I don't want to be with you anymore. And she's like, I just want to hug. I just want to end this on the proper terms. He goes, after all that shit, now he's angry.
Yeah.
Right. When, and you can see when he has the complete power back is when he does not give a fuck anymore. When he throws his ring down.
Yeah.
At one point, he goes, oh, this thing. And he throws it down.
They were married. They were married.
Oh,
okay.
They were married. Yeah. That's the other part of this is there's a whole divorce settlement where she said she was going to donate all. She didn't want anything from Johnny. I'm going to donate all of my divorce settlement. I'm going to donate it to, I think, the ACLU or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she still hasn't done that.
Right.
So in court, you go to the lawyer, and which is smart because they have to get a female lawyer to aggressively question her.
Right.
Because it doesn't look sympathetic if it's a man screaming at her.
Right.
And they get a, and she goes, gee, have you donated that money? I did donate that money. Mm-hmm. He goes, they have not received any payment. She goes, mm-hmm. Well, I have pledged that money. So that money is donated. I'm pledging the money. They go, not asking if you pledged the money.
Right.
I'm asking you if you paid the money, and she has not. She has not given 1 cent to them yet. And
then she pledged it?
She pledged it. She pledged it by just verbally saying, I'm going to donate this money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm donating all the proceeds. And to the point where Johnny Depp's team, when they went through the divorce, they said, we are, you know, just tell us and we'll directly send it to them.
Right.
And she's like, no, the money comes directly to me. So she has not. She's been lying about that. I mean, it's a whole fucking mess. But you see so many of the lessons that we talk about in this show, and that being one of them. When he doesn't give a fuck, you can see how she loses all the power. She's like, oh, shit. Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck no more.
He does not give a fuck. And that's when she is a blithering, crying mess.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's still sympathy. It's still.
Well, it is sympathy because now she's a blithering client because this is where all she has.
But when he doesn't
respond to her blithering client crying mess, then she's angry. Like, here I was crying, and you didn't suspend your anger and whatever, and come to my aid. And it's like, yeah, it's no. I don't like you that way.
I don't care anymore.
I don't care about this. I don't care about you. You did it all. You did everything that you wanted to do, and now I don't care.
And you know, it's like, well, I just want to be hugged. I just want to hug and know that everything is okay.
Yeah, I don't want to hug you.
I don't want to hug you, and that's not what you wanted. It's just in that moment, that's the level that it has to be done to manipulate whatever she needs in that moment. I mean, it's just insanity. But that's also the thing that it's funny because my girl was talking to me, and I have a small amount of bias in this because I watched my mom kind of do something similar to my dad.
Right.
In the fact that she had made up a complete fabrication, which she still
holds to it.
She still holds to that same story to this day. It changes in the degrees of the reality of it and what happened. Right. But the main story is that my father kicked her out. He was abusive, which I never saw.
Right.
Never saw it. He was emotionally abusive, never saw it. He wasn't physically abusive, never saw it. And then
not only that, but he avoids her like the fucking plague.
There's nothing he wants more than to be away from her, never have to speak to her again.
Yeah.
Never have to speak to her again. Right. Yeah. And so I have a little bias in the sense. So my girl was one time asked me, she goes, did your mom cheating on your dad ever affect you, your trust level with women?
Of course it did.
It's interesting because I said, you know, I'm not so much afraid of a woman cheating on me. The thing that I am most afraid of is her altering reality and making up a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the interesting part because I've had girls in the past where it never got to this level at all. But it's because I'm so cautious that I am like, you know, I might have to tape her.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that I never get accused. I'm so scared of getting accused of something. And it's never gotten to that point. It's nowhere near that point.
Let's be honest, though. What I think the thing that's affected you about your mom was not the cheating as much as it was the fact that she continuously redirects and changes the story.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, if it was just about the cheating, then maybe you would have a thing about why women could cheat. I'll tell you this, man. I was a young kid. I was banging married women all the time. Did it make me go, man, don't get married because women will... It didn't make... Because it also was like, oh, I get it. I would fuck me.
It was to a certain extent, a special circumstance.
That doesn't make her a bad girl because she, you know, like I didn't think of it like that. But I did. Here's what I did learn from that is given circumstance. And I've learned it's not just about men, about women, but about men. Given circumstances, people will do things 100% out of character.
Out of their character,
I mean, if it is their constitution, given circumstances, they'll go right back to the norm.
But that's not necessarily given circumstance. What you're talking about is if that's their nature, it's not about a given circumstance. Like when you talk about a given circumstance,
right.
Somebody is in a financial peril or they're under, you know, some type of
influence. Not even that. I'm going to tell you, there was a dude that I used to strip with. I won't say his name because whatever. But at the time, they were hungry. They were like, he was thirsty to like make money and shit. And so probably in the 90s, people know this. You know, anybody who's hood knows that there was a magazine called Blacktail Magazine.
Oh, we all know Blacktail Magazine.
Okay, so Blacktail.
What? I've never heard of this magazine.
So Blacktail Magazine was like supposed to be like the black, you know, there was Pictorial, right? But then it was Blacktail Magazine. And then I knew the guy Stone, this guy out in Queens, he produced that. And he used to do locked door parties and shit.
But he was the editor of Blacktail Magazine?
He was the owner of it, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And then he tried to do a black Playgirl version, which was Black Inches, was the same company, and they called it Black Inches, which was black dudes naked, right? Basically showing their dick, right? So it's all monster dicks, dudes, you know. But what happened was the women do not buy Black Inches.
No.
Like, and if they do buy, they're not blind. They're not getting a subscription to Black Inches. If they get one, they get one and they rip out a page that's extra, you know, this guy that's super good looking and super built, and they pass it on and they, yo, check this out. But then no woman is getting a subscription.
Women
to Black
tend Tail. Not to buy the magazines, and they tend to watch less pornography.
Guess who?
Oh boy,
bought Black Inches magazine.
Oh no,
gay dudes galore.
Yes, indeed.
So it ended becoming a. It was the market was gay dudes, so it was.
Well, just the same thing with Playgirl.
So
yeah, it was not. Women weren't buying Playgirl magazine.
Right.
It was gay gentlemen.
Right. So now the pictures took a weird turn. The photo shoots took a weird turn from being, you know, full frontal to, you know, two live crew, ass backwards, bent up, like the dudes, like the poses with dudes ass up in the air and all kinds of shit.
It used to be attempted to be kind of like classy pictorials.
It was very masculine, but it was like
the later years of Black Inches Magazine.
Black Inches Magazine was for gay dudes, and they, you know, close up a dude's assholes and shit like that. And a lot of the dudes who stripped thought that this was their, it's just like anything else. This was their shot to make it big.
Shot at the big time.
Yeah, to get the cover of Black Inches Magazine. And then they would get Black Inches Magazine, but they'd be taken. But these dudes, it was a gay editor. And so these dudes was either fucking this dude or getting fucked by the dude or something, and that became the legacy of the magazine.
You hate to see the integrity of something like Black Inches go out the window.
You know, it's a shame.
It should be about the art.
We knew what the vision was. We knew what the vision was, and that changed, and it all went. It just gets too corporate, man.
You know what it is? It just gets too, you know, the big money people get involved, and the art goes out the window.
And then it loses the mom and pop.
Yeah. The mom and pop. You know?
Anyway. Whatever.
Let's wrap this one up, and let's do a Patreon, guys. Thank you for joining us. And I guess if you learn anything, get new sheets. I don't know. What do we learn from the
Lock your bedroom door.
Yeah.
How about that?
Your bedroom and don't trust women, I guess. No, I don't know. Whatever. What is there to learn? All right. Well, join us over at Patreon, everybody.